OTB.
Bemused, I think, is probably how he feels in his head. Bemused how they could go from where they were last season, 99 points, 67 games unbeaten at home, to a situation where they could be on the edge today of losing six games in a row at home.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio. Keep up to date with the latest scores on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Sports app. Live score updates straight to your phone. The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Well, Brian, we've seen Leicester City stuttering through the last few weeks. This was a pretty impressive performance today against Sheffield United.
Yeah, but it was made easy for them, Nathan, for them, in that Sheffield United looked like a fairly depressed team, losing the manager, and the word was only put out last night that he was gone, even though it looked like he wasn't going to stay around, Chris Wilder, that is, over the last week. And it obviously affected their performance. I mean, they haven't been great by any means, but 2 weeks ago they beat Aston Villa 1-0 and showed great resilience after Phil Jakielka was put off in that match with a long time to go. And they were solid, secure, and showed great desire and passion to hang on to 3 points that day. Today they showed none of those qualities other than being reasonably compact for the first half hour of the game until they conceded, and then Leicester just ran amok after that. But they played very, very well, Leicester. Some lovely combination play between the middle and the front, and Iheanacho was in superb form, set up by Jamie Vardy, who missed a few chances, but really good performance.
Every time we watch Leicester, we seem to end up talking about different players after the game who impressed. Quite often it's Maddison or Barnes or Fofana. Today it was Iheanacho and Tielemans in midfield. Iheanacho first is a player who's been around the block and been around a long time, but is still only 24. To score that hat-trick, he adds a different dimension now to Leicester.
Yeah, he certainly gives Brendan Rodgers something that he will have to use the common phrase, to think about in terms of team selection. He had a reason why he obviously went to the back three. Generally, when we've seen them before, they played with a back four. The three centre-halves haven't played together. Today, the three centre-halves, Soyuncu, Johnny Evans and Fofana, played and allowed them to play the two as a front, as a pair. And Iheanacho earned a starting place by scoring in the last couple of matches. And then he scores a hat-trick today. So, Brendan Rodgers, it would be very difficult for him to leave him out of the starting team in the next, I'd say, three games anyway. If a fella scores in three games in a row, you can't just leave him out if he doesn't score in the next match. So, yes, I think it's another good option for him. Particularly, as you mentioned, the Barnes and Maddison are out and don't look like either of them will be back too soon. It's important that other players take on the role, and the fact that Vardy, by his standards, is off form.
1-15 for Vardy.
Yeah, I would doubt he's had a spell like that since he's come to Leicester from Fleetwood, 6-7 years ago.
Some attitude, though.
Yeah, he was great today in terms he stuck at it. He still kept making those runs in behind down the channel on the left-hand side. He put in the crosses for two of those goals, laid them on very well, had three good shots. He should have scored. I mean, Iheanacho set him up. Almost like he was setting them up with sympathy late on in the game. But he, brilliant attitude. And it was lovely to see him congratulating Iheanacho when he had scored that hat-trick and been all over him when he scored the other goals too. So, you know, that's good for Leicester, that they're not only solely depending on Vardy now that Maddison and Barnes are out. Perez scored today. He doesn't score enough goals. Played well today. Iosi Perez too, so that's all good for Leicester, but they'll meet stronger opposition in the next few weeks obviously than Sheffield United, who are very poor today.
Maybe it's down to the fact that they're English and they've been brilliant this season, but a lot of attention is focused on Barnes and Maddison, and when players have been linked with clubs, a lot of it focuses on them. But on Youri Tielemans in the middle of midfield, Belgian international, like we were oozing about him at times this afternoon, he looks a player who has it all, and he's already playing at a very high level, but could go anywhere.
Yes, I would agree with you on that opinion. He is matured. He's got better, I think, last year in his fourth season. He wasn't as imposing, I think, is the word I'd use now. But yet when I saw him playing for Belgium, every time I saw him playing for Belgium, the quality of the players he's playing with, you're going, this lad is really top player. He's still only 23. Difficult to get into the Belgian team with the quality that they have and the number of players they have available to them. But he's a first choice pick for Martinez, and you can see why now. He's starting to do on a regular basis, and he is playing with good players. The talk about Barnes and Maddison is understandable too, because they're both young players, and because Leicester are often a selling club, when bigger clubs than Leicester City and the more traditionally successful clubs come to buy their players, there is a figure that they'll sell for. So we saw Chilwell go last year, Maguire going before that, and maybe one of these three will go or more. But remember, Maddison was at Norwich not too long ago. They took a chance on him, and they've spotted the talent. They're good at that, Leicester. They're consistently signing players and replacing the ones that move on. But they're also remaining compared to themselves. And I think their ambition has to be a top four club this season and a top four club on a regular basis. They only barely missed out last season after they lost the last two matches to Spurs and Manchester United. This year, the target has to be hang in, and could they do it in the Cup? Do I think they do? I think they'll be in a scrap. I think Manchester United will make it with City, obviously. And I think in the form that Chelsea are in and the players that Chelsea have available, Chelsea will do it. I think Leicester will be involved in the scrap with the others that are in contention. I think they're a very good chance, but they might just get edged out again this year.
It's Sheffield United's biggest defeat of the season, the biggest defeat since they came up to the Premier League, and Chris Wilder isn't in the dugout. As professionals, are you surprised by that performance that they put in today?
Not hugely. I think Chris Wilder was doing his best to keep a lid on how bad things were in the background. Obviously, he was trying to keep morale up among the players, given that you knew by his interviews that he was holding back and saying what he really wanted to say, which is that he feels that he was let down by the board and by the owner, and that he knew that they needed investment in the team. He wanted them to sign some players at loan in January, didn't sign them. He wanted them to sign other players in the summer. And his understanding of experience of the game would have told him that the team wasn't good enough to sustain the levels of energy and to produce the results they did last year with the same squad was unrealistic. They had to get a goalkeeper because Henderson was going back. Remember, he was the one that got Henderson in the first place. And this is what the club seemed to have forgotten, that he was the one that built the team over the last few years. Yes, they had to support him in the transfer market, but he wasn't one that spent big to get the players they wanted. They invested in players who were at a lower level and gradually built a team that were good enough, and he brought the majority of those players played through the divisions for him. So the investment in Brewster and Berg were good investments. Brewster hasn't produced the results. McBurney hasn't produced results as yet. Ramsdale has done all right. He's a young goalkeeper with lots of potential. Had a great season with Bournemouth last year, and everybody thought he did well. His options to sign another goalkeeper more experienced might have been quite limited. But yeah, I think most people with any common sense in the game, looking at what Chris Wilder has done for Sheffield United, would say overall he's done a great job. They're going to go back down. Norwich went back down. They show what can be done. You stick with the manager, let him make the decisions about the squad and go on from there. But Sheffield United, it seems, wanted to put in somebody who was going to be a director of football type, who might have been making decisions about the sort of players that were needed. He didn't want to have that. And ultimately he's the one that goes, and I think they're the ones that are going to suffer as a result of him going, because it won't be easy to replicate what he's done when they do go back down.
He is one of the many names, Chris Wilder, who's been put in the running for the Celtic job, and there's a story on the back page of The Sun today that Roy Keane has expressed an interest in a job that I think he turned down maybe 5-6 years ago at this rate. Can you see Keane going back in? It's obviously a decade now since he was last a manager. He had a long spell with the Republic of Ireland as assistant manager. If you're in charge of Celtic and it's a Chris Wilder, Eddie Howe with plenty of recent experience against Roy Keane with not many, how do you balance that decision? What is it that puts Roy on a level where he can be in contention?
I'm not sure what puts him in contention, but what would put him behind the others that you have mentioned, in my opinion, would be their recent record. Roy's recent record as a manager is a few years back at Ipswich, where it didn't end very well. There was heavy investment in Ipswich initially for Marcus Evans, but ultimately it failed, and they remained very much a mid-table team while Roy was there. So, you know, since then he hasn't taken the job. He's been assistant manager with Ireland with Martin. That didn't end very well for either of them. I don't think that time enhanced Roy's reputation as regards a club job. But, you know, interestingly, I don't think English clubs take an awful lot of notice of how a manager does managing the Republic of Ireland. I mean, it didn't make an awful lot of difference to Mick McCarthy, you know, when Mick came in. But when you look at Mick's results, they weren't bad. I think it was 5 wins and 4 draws and 1 defeat in 10 games. So that wouldn't have put clubs off taking Mick. If you look at what he did at Cyprus, it might have, but that doesn't affect him. Didn't affect him, and now he's doing a great job. So go back to Roy. Is he in contention for Celtic? We don't know. They're not saying who's in contention for the job or who they're going to appoint. But I would think at this stage that if Chris Wilder was interested in it, he would be a much more he'd be a candidate that would be higher up the line, I would think, than Roy at the moment. You mentioned Eddie Howe, he's another one. I would think, what would that be based on? Well, his work at Bournemouth over so many years. He went to Burnley for a short period, didn't go well, went back to Bournemouth, did a tremendous job there, obviously didn't go well last season. They went down a bit like Chris Wilder, only his time at Bournemouth was more consistent, and it was a longer period of time, and the style of football was easy on people's eye. But, you know, if Roy was to get the job, I'm sure he'd get stuck into it. He'd have every chance of being successful. He now has to compete with Rangers, who are at a different level than they've been for a long number of years. Stephen Gerrard has done a brilliant job there. And so Rangers would be a real competitor for Celtic now. They've got the League One this season already. Celtic have had the glory run of 9 in a row. So Roy will be going into a different situation where Celtic aren't at a good time in their history. So that's not a bad time to be coming in when it hasn't been successful, rather than coming in and following the manager that has been successful. But I don't know how that one's going to go.
We saw Enda Stevens play today, had a quiet game, was on the back foot, not the marauding fullback we saw for Sheffield United last season, but at least he got through the full 90 minutes, and he's probably one of the few guaranteed starters for Stephen Kenny in Serbia in 10 days' time. This feels very similar to what we saw in October, November, with injuries already starting to pile up. Darren Randolph is out, John Egan is out, Adam Ida is out, James McCarthy, Aaron Connolly. There's doubts over Queeveen Kelleher. This feels like a mountain now again that Stephen Kenny has to climb going to Serbia for the first game.
Yeah, but you know, some of the players that you mentioned there weren't playing there. They can't all play together. And James McCarthy has played very, very little for Stephen. I think the goalkeeping one is a very important one because experience. Darren Randolph has always shown he stands up on the big days. Mm. He stands up on nearly every day playing for Ireland. You have to say he's been our most consistent player. He's had to adapt to the slight change of style with Stephen Kenny. I think there's an overemphasis on the whole thing in relation to the change and the build up from the back. I think every manager to a degree wanted to build up the back, but you look at the players you have and the opposition you're playing against and decide whether it's appropriate on the day in question. But I think that Darren Randolph has been a key player, and you know, Queeveen Kelleher, you mentioned his difficulties, not a lot of experience.
Kieran Westwood played today for Sheffield Wednesday. He was meant to be out injured, but obviously he's come back quicker
than
expected.
Talk about him, and he said that he is he'd never say no to Ireland.
So what do you do as you've been in this position, because you have Caoimhín Kelleher, who's never played for Ireland, has obviously played some big days for Liverpool, or a Kieran Westwood who has buckets of experience behind him but hasn't really been involved in recent years? That's a difficult decision.
I was never in that situation. I always had experienced goalkeepers available in my time at when I started, I inherited Shay Given and Dean Kiely, and then I would have brought in one or two others, Nicky Colgan and Paddy Kenny and Joe Murphy, who hopefully get on the pitch today at Wembley for Tranmere. But I didn't have that situation, and maybe that was a mistake by Stephen, that he didn't give one of the other goalkeepers a go in the 8 games he had this year, that he stuck with Darren Randolph, and now he's in a situation he's not available, so he doesn't have a goalkeeper that's played. But that doesn't mean the goalkeeper that hasn't played can't perform. You always have to have the first day for the international team, and
Look at Darren Randolph. His first day was that night against Germany.
Exactly, and he came on the match. He didn't even start the match. So there you go. So that. But I think the other positions out the pitch, Ida and Connolly, I felt there was an overdependence on young players who were very inexperienced, who had very few games under belt at first team level. Anyway, and I think McGoldrick was an important one. Unfortunately, he's out. But who knows what way it's going to go. I mean, do we end up with Shane Long playing centre-forward in the match against Serbia? May not be the worst thing that can happen. I think around the middle of the field, there's lots of different players that played in the midfield positions. As I said, James McCarthy hasn't played very much. I think Jeff Hendrick has been important players. I think Robbie Brady have been important players. And both of them have been playing reasonably regularly, bits and pieces in Brady's case lately. I think they're important players. Their experience. Enda Stevens, important, as you mentioned today. Seamus Coleman's been getting some football. Not enough. But Doherty's playing today for Spurs. He's been in and out, but playing, seems to be fit. The fact that he's playing such a big match today would indicate he's in good shape. The centre-half positions could be a problem. Shane Duffy's obviously confidence. But the fact that his confidence is struggling playing for Celtic, that doesn't mean it necessarily affects him playing for the Republic of Ireland either.
So would you have seen that? Because we always hear players love coming into the Ireland camp. It's a different thing, obviously, in COVID times, but that, where you may have watched players who struggle at club level, there's something about when they get away from that, when you get away from the stress and strains of everyday life, that there's a bit of relief of getting to the international setup.
I've seen it with players, not so much when I managed Ireland myself, but I've seen it with players before that. When I was manager of Ireland, the players who played centre-backs, the likes of Andy O'Brien and Kenny Cunningham's doing the commentary for us this afternoon, they were, Gary Breen, they were playing well at the clubs. They were playing regularly. Richard Dunne, there was a lot of competition for the centre-back play. And I stuck with Andy O'Brien and Kenny a fair bit because they played well as a partnership for me. But I rarely went to matches when they didn't do well at their clubs either. Their club form was relevant to me. But I made the decision based on what they did playing for Ireland as well, playing for the national team. So I think Stephen Kenny will probably look at Shane Duffy in that light, that he's done all right for us. He's looked a bit awkward and not as comfortable in playing, trying to play it out in the back and playing running with the ball and running into midfield and playing it out to the right back. But I think that's an area, with John Egan's injury, that could be a bit of a problem. But the good news is that Kieran Clarke is playing, and Stephen has said he's seen him, and he's left footed and so on. So I think that, so while there may be problems, and you can rule out players and say, but that's the way it works for international football. It works in club football as well. But international football, you don't have control. You wait and you pray and you hope that the ones you want turn up on the day. And it's the last match before the players come in is the one that most concerns you. That Saturday and Sunday games, they're the ones that you're hoping that you get the call that it all is clear. That's what I remember. That's the way I operated. I waited on each player to text me, say they were okay. But the ones that didn't text you, then you got worried. Then you were making the phone calls. And the last thing you wanted to hear was a phone call from the manager or a physio at a club to tell you there was trouble. But you can't control that. And you just got to make the best of it. And kind of dismiss the idea that you're under strength. Not make excuses before the match. After the match, if you want to throw it in there, if it doesn't go well. But you're better off just ignoring it to a degree and being delighted about who turns up and telling them they're the ones you want anyway, and get on with it and win the match.
Great stuff as always, Brian.
Thank you, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.